Welcome to the podcast service of Sydney's 103.2, available on the web at heart1032.com.au.
Good morning.
Now, Paul, tell us, where are you at this very moment?
Right now, we're about 170 miles off of the Sabrina coast of Antarctica. We traveled for about 56 miles west. Now we're heading east. Where the Nishan Maru is going, we have no idea, but we just keep following. But the good news is they're certainly not killing any whales. They just keep running.
What's it like out there, this constant chase that's going on? Describe a day in the life of the Steve Irwin.
Well, we sort of thread our way through icebergs, and the seas have been rather good for the last three or four days, and we just keep chasing them. We're a little faster, so we do circles around them sometimes, and and then catch up with them again. But we're just they're waiting for them to rendezvous with the other boats if they do, or keep running. But the fact is that since January 8th, they've been running now for, we've been chasing them for 37 days in total.
Paul, can you explain to us your passion for saving whales and how that came about?
Well, I was raised in a fishing village in eastern Canada, and I've been involved with protecting marine wildlife pretty much all my life. I think that one of the things that really changed my life was back in 1975 when a sperm whale that had been harpooned by the Soviets, it came forward and attacked our small boat because it was, in pain, and it came up and out of the water and was about to hurl itself straight towards us and land on top of us. And I looked into his eye, and I think what I saw in that eye really changed my life forever, because I saw understanding, and I saw the whale with a great effort pull back, and I saw his eye disappear beneath the sea and die, and I sort of feel indebted that whale could have taken our life and chose not to do so. So that certainly just kept me going all these years.
How did you mobilize a crew to be out there, and for such a long time as well, chasing these boats around in January? How did that all come about to being where you are today and continuing this chase?
Well, we have anybody who's a member of the Sea Shepherd Society can volunteer to crew on the vessels, and we have a long waiting list. So we changed crew twice on this campaign, and some people kept all the way through, and of course some people have been on board for a long time. But we give people the opportunity to have a hands-on experience and to get involved and to actually really do something. And so it's not that difficult finding crew.
What's the plan of attack to save the whales? Obviously, you're out there in the ocean now, and like you said, chasing the other ship. But what other stuff have you got planned to prevent all this?
Right now, the easiest thing to do is just to keep chasing them. One of the things that we do is put this rotten butter smell onto their deck, which it's pretty hard to work killing whales when you can't stand the smell of being on deck. So that's one of the reasons that we use that. It's sort of a non-toxic, non-harmful substance, but it certainly smells. And we just get in their way and blockade them, harass them. The most important thing is they're afraid of us. And as long as they're afraid of us, that works in our favor. So every time we show up, they run. Nobody kills whales in front of us. I haven't seen a whale die ever since I left Greenpeace over 30 years ago. Because as soon as Sea Shepherd shows up, everybody stops whaling and they just run.
Are you concerned at all for just the crewmen on the other ship for their safety? I mean, obviously, if this butter tactic works in preventing them killing whales, like, that's awesome. But do you worry that you might be actually physically harming them?
Well, we've never caused an injury in our entire history. We always take the precautions to make sure that nobody's hurt. I know that Japan claimed that they had four injuries the other day, but actually it came down to four people throwing up because of the smell of the rotten butter substance that we put on board. Hardly injured. But we take all those precautions. We look on ourselves as a non-violent organization.
Don't you think, though, throwing rancid butter on the ship is a bit juvenile?
Well, it works. And in East Africa, they shoot elephant poachers, In India, they shoot tiger poachers. Here, they get to get some rotten butter thrown on their deck. So I think getting off rather easy.
And what about higher up? What have you got in plan to prevent the killing of whales? Maybe, I guess, at a political level.
Well, you know, politics really never seems to get anything done. Just a lot of talking, posturing, and posing. So I think that we're making some inroads here, because not only are we physically saving whales, but we're exposing Japan's illegal operations to the world. And for the first time ever this year, we've provoked a discussion in Japan, because the drama here has gotten into the Japanese media, and people are beginning to question the whale hunt in Japan, saying, well, you know, is this really worth it, this insignificant industry that's just giving us such a bad reputation around the world?
Are you in full control of your crew when some of these things happen, like the rancid butter and people getting on board the ship and stuff? Are you fully in control of what is happening on board your ship?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what about, I guess, safety concerns for you guys? Do you, with retaliation and all that kind of stuff, do you feel safe when you are in these situations, or is that element of danger for you?
Well, there's always an element of risk. I mean, we always say that we sail into harm's way to protect life, and that's true. I mean, over the years, we've been shot at, we've been rammed, we've been depth charged, we've been threatened. A couple of years ago, sealers in Canada attacked my crew with clubs. So there's certainly a lot of danger involved. But, I mean, I think these risks are worth it to protect endangered species and to try and make the future more secure for everybody. I think it's a far more noble thing to risk one's life to protect an endangered species like a whale or protect a habitat than it is to go fight for some oil well somewhere.
Captain Watson, wrap it up for us. Give us the one message that you want to get across to the Australian people today about the whaling that's going on in Antarctica.
I think that we can end whaling down here in the Southern Oceans, and I think we can end it fairly soon. We just have to keep the pressure on. And we have to make it clear to the Japanese public that we're not going away, that it's going to be a never-ending trip to the dentist. If they don't stop whaling, we're going to be on their back and constantly harassing them. And over the last 3 years, we've cost them a lot of money and a lot of prestige, and we're just not going to back down. We're going to keep out here until they end whaling down here forever.
Paul, stay safe, and thanks very much for chatting this morning.
Okay, thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Sydney's 103.2 podcast. To listen to more great audio, visit heart1032.com.au.